All of his elect, yes. Salvation is not a plan, it's a purpose. But anyway. Go with me back to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel 2. I am going to try to do tonight what the Apostle Paul told Timothy to do, which is preach the word. I'm going to read these verses to you. I'm going to make a few comments along the way. And I'm going to pray that the Lord will make it to be a blessing to us. You remember from chapter 1 that Israel was besieged by King Nebuchadnezzar and taken captive to Babylon. And among the captives were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, whose names were changed. They tried to mix their idolatry with God's grace, and they changed the names of these men to Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were taken to Babylon, and they were put into prison for 3 years. That was the king's decree. I want them in there for 3 years, and then they'll stand before me. And at the end of 3 years, those four men were found to be exceedingly wise men. And they were found in the favor of King Nebuchadnezzar, and he included them into his council of wise men. Well, chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him." This whole chapter is about a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. And he wants to know the interpretation of it. And none of his magicians, his astrologers, his sorcerers, or his wise men can tell him the interpretation of the dream. They can't even tell him the dream. So he gets mad and he says that he is going to slay everybody. And when Daniel hears about it, he says, "Go tell the king that I will show him the interpretation of the dream. I will show him the dream itself," which, as we read in the scripture reading, that was his demand. "And I'll show him the meaning of his dream. I'll show him the reason why he dreamed what he did." And to get right to the point, if you look at verse 28, Daniel 2, verse 28, it says, "There is a God in heaven. Nebuchadnezzar, you dreamed what you did so that you might know there's a God in heaven. And through the interpretation of this dream, Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar, this is who God is, and this is what he's going to do." Now, tonight, we're going to look at half of this chapter. You notice I stopped reading before he said, "I'm going to tell you what it is," and then I stopped reading. Tonight, we're going to look at half of this chapter. We're going to look at the events leading up to the interpretation of the dream. But we're going to see that this chapter is a representation of, this is a picture of, the moment that the truth comes to a sinner. The moment that God confronts a sinner with the truth, we're going to see this spiritual picture as we read through this. Nebuchadnezzar represents sin. He represents idolatry. He represents one who is the enemy of the Lord God. That's all men by nature. All of mankind by nature. Daniel represents Christ. But he also, in this chapter, represents a true preacher. He represents a true messenger who holds the truth, holds the root of the matter, the key to this mystery. And he is going to boldly declare it no matter what consequences may come from it. Now let's read this story with all that in mind. All right, Daniel 2, verse 1. It says, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, and I'm not going to bog you down with all these details, but it was actually the fifth year. It's the second year after Daniel and the men were let out of prison. They were in prison for 3 years, and there's another scripture that tells us Nebuchadnezzar took them in the first year of his reign. They were in prison for 3 years, and then they were made to be servants of the king. 2 years into their service to Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 1 says, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep break from him. He dreamed this dream. It was probably a recurring dream. And it troubled him so much he couldn't sleep any longer. He lost sleep over this dream. He was troubled. And that's the place where God puts a sinner when God is purposed to deal with a sinner. And I was thinking about that. That's a wonderful place to be. That's a precious place to be. We all by nature are so lulled to comfort. We are so lulled to sleep. We are so lulled to slumber. But when God starts dealing with a person, he wakes them up by bringing trouble. Trouble comes. God puts a sinner in trouble. He makes that sinner in trouble. Verse 1, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. When God troubles a man or a woman, usually the first thing he or she will turn to and run to is religion. False religion. And religion is not the answer. Christ is the answer. But it takes the message of God and it takes the servant of God to reveal that to a person. So according to human nature, Nebuchadnezzar ran to his fleshly man-made counsel right here. Verse 3, and the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, the language that they spoke in. O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. They said, you tell us what the problem is, and we'll try to give you a solution to that problem. Now, I will tell you why I want men and women to know this. I'll tell you why religion, false religion, cannot help anybody. This is the reason why. This is the root of the matter. It all comes down to this. The religion of man cannot provide any help or any solution because it has no idea what the problem is. No idea. If a man thinks he can remedy his own problem, he does not know what the problem is. Man thinks he's diseased when he's really dead. Religion has no idea what mankind's true problem is. I sometimes don't do this. But sometimes I get on the internet to see what some of these other places are blaspheming about. And I'm telling you, they don't know what the problem is. They just don't know. Wrong on the fall, wrong on it all. It takes God to reveal the problem. It takes the Spirit and the power of God to reveal that to a person. But in Nebuchadnezzar's blindness and in his ignorance, he goes to his man-made religion. Verse 4. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king of in Syriac, O king, live forever, tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. They didn't know Nebuchadnezzar's problem, but Nebuchadnezzar didn't know his own problem. That's the problem with man. This was the blind leading the blind. Mankind naturally does not know his own problem. He does not know his own sin. Man knows the word sin. And man knows a few little things that he does that he's ashamed of. But mankind does not know his sin. Mankind does not know his idolatries. Again, all of these places that I just mentioned that, you know, claim to preach Christ but don't. They claim to preach Christ, but they don't. These are houses of idolatry. That's what they are. These are places that are filled with people who are idols, idol worshipers, but they don't know it. They have no idea. Nebuchadnezzar's man-made religion had no idea what the problem was. He had no idea what the problem was. All right, verse 5. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. I wish more people would get sick and tired of religion. I wish more people would get sick and tired of religion. I wish more people would see through false religion. There's nothing to it. And that's what he said right there. If you can't show me this, I'm done with you. Hirelings, that's what they are. What do you want us to say? What do you want us to say to you and tell you? He said, this is what he's saying. If you don't bring rest to my soul, I'm getting rid of all your phony lies. I'm getting rid of you. Verse 5, the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, if you can show me the problem and the solution, if you can bring the truth to me, if you can bring the gospel to me, that's how we would say it, those who are called to see what this is. If you can show me the cause of my trouble and the remedy for my trouble. Verse 6, he said, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. I'll glorify you. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. Verse 7, they answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that you would gain the time. He said, I know you're trying to buy time right now because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. He said, if you can tell me what my problem is, I will know that you are telling me the true remedy for that problem. I'll know that you're telling me the true solution to that problem. Now, I'm going to tell you this. This really struck me. That is where the assurance and the rest of God's people comes from. We know that the remedy of this word is true. The remedy of salvation, which is Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ. We know that the remedy of this word is true because we know that the problem that this word so plainly declares to us is true. We know it's true. This word says, you are a sinner against God. That's the problem. You are dead in your trespasses and sins. That's the problem. Everything that you do is drowning in sin. And we hear that truth and we say, that's right. God's people will all say, that's right. That's it. You've hit the nail on the head. That's the problem. And then this word says there is only one remedy for that kind of sin. And that remedy is Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, the only one who's able to bear the trouble and put away the sin. That's the truth that God speaks to His people. That's the true work of the Spirit that causes the sinner to say, this is no lie. This is no phony man-made religion. Like that woman at the well said, come see a man who knows every dark, sinful truth that there is to know about me. He's our remedy. He's our remedy. We cry truth like Syrophoenician woman, truth, Lord. I am a dog. We cry truth to all of our sin. Therefore, we cry truth to all of His righteousness, all of His blood remedy for our sin. So verse 8 says, the king answered and said, I know of certainty that you would gain the time because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. Verse 10, the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, and I'm going to tell you, as you listen to some of these hirelings, you are every now and then going to hear a little bit of truth. Well, that was a little bit of truth, you know. A little leaven leavens a whole lump, but they're about to say the only true thing that they said. This is it right here. Okay, verse 10, the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. That's the only true thing they said. There is not a man on this earth, including this man. There is not a man on this earth that can naturally know the truth of these matters. No man could ever get the glory for this, the glory of this mystery, the glory of this revelation, the revelation of the gospel, the mystery of Christ, the mystery of godliness. If any man glory, it is only going to be in the Lord, in the revelation of the Lord. Verse 10, the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there's not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asked such things at any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. Now watch verse 11. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. That shows their ignorance. Number one, they said to gods, there's only one God. And thank God, He was manifest in the flesh. Thank God, He came down and He dwelled with human flesh. He did not take upon Him the nature of the fallen angels, but He did take upon Himself the form of the seed of Abraham. The form of the children of Abraham, the covenant elect people of God. He joined Himself to His people. He touched Himself with the infirmities of His people. But false religion will not and cannot tell a sinner that. False religion cannot declare the truth of the remedy in the person of the God-man, Christ Jesus the Lord. Who he really is, why he really came, what he really accomplished in his sacrifice and death on the cross, who he really accomplished it for. I want to tell everybody. Christ didn't come to call the righteous. Everybody's so self-righteous. He came to call that sinner who's too ashamed to show his face because he knows he's a sinner. False religion cannot declare that glorious news to a sinner. All that man-made religion can do is leave a sinner lost in the darkness of his sin, with no hope, no help, no assurance, no comfort, no rest, no nothing. Verse 12. For this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. He said, I'm done with religion. Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm done with all of it. Verse 14. Then Daniel. But God. After all other avenues were exhausted, Nebuchadnezzar was emptied of all his own ways, all his own efforts. Verse 14. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. This man was headed out to start slaying. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Now Nebuchadnezzar has heard from all of his false religion, and now he's going to hear from God's true messenger. And we all need to hear from God's true messenger, Christ the Lord, the revealer of the secrets. Daniel represents Christ, but he also represents the men that God has called to declare the truth of Christ. God gives his true servants this confirmation, this conviction that God is true and every man is a liar. You know, the decree has gone out against Daniel's head. The decree has already gone out. But he goes in with the conviction and the confidence that the truth of God will stand. And when we get, I'm getting close here, but when we get to the interpretation of this dream, we're going to see that Daniel is about to declare to Nebuchadnezzar, there is a God and it's not you. That's what he's going to declare to him. There is a God, Nebuchadnezzar, and it's not you. Daniel right here is about to be given this message. And this is how it goes, all right? This is how it works, okay? The false men, we heard their story. Now, this is a true preacher story right here. Verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise man. Daniel went into these other three men and he did not say, all right, y'all, let's all put our heads together and figure this thing out. What do you guys think? He didn't say that. He went to those three men and he said, pray with me. Let's all call on the God of heaven to have mercy on us and to speak this word. If we speak any word, let it be the word of the Lord. That's what truth is, the word of the Lord. Christ is the truth because Christ is the word of the Lord. False religion is the word of men. False religion seeks the word of men. Nebuchadnezzar sought his man-made religion, and he said, "You tell me." And then it was just a ridiculous circle of foolishness. False religion said back to him, "Nebuchadnezzar, you tell me." And he said, "No, you tell me." And they said, "No, you tell me." Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, they said, "Lord God of heaven and earth, you speak to us. Would you speak to us? Speak, Lord, and by your grace we will listen." We need to hear from God. We need to hear from God. The truth comes from God alone. The only word that saves is the word of God alone. And for God's people who desire the word of God alone, our Lord said, "If you ask, I'll give it to you." Remember that. If you ask, he said, "I'll give it to you." Daniel asked and God gave it to him. And Daniel's response to receiving God's word, all right, this is the message. He's going to give the interpretation. This is the message of God's word, and this is what every child of God will believe and cling to and cry when they hear and receive the truth of this word. If God ever opens blind eyes, if he ever saves a soul, this is what the soul will cry. Verse 19. "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven." It was revealed, and Daniel blessed the God of heaven. That word blessed means praised. Daniel praised the God of heaven for revealing the secret of his truth. And this is what he said, verse 20. "Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God." What is his name? Jehovah is his name. Emmanuel is his name. Jesus Christ is his name. Verse 20 says, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his. All wisdom, all strength, all honor, all glory, all of it belongs to Jesus Christ." Verse 21, "And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." Does that not sound like what Nebuchadnezzar ended up saying at the end of chapter 4, that what I quote all the time? Just look at it real quick. Daniel 4. After God truly dealt with Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel 4, verse 34. "At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High." Don't you love it when God conquers a sinner? Don't you love seeing God bring one of his enemies to his footstool? "At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation." Sounds like the Lord revealed some things to Nebuchadnezzar. "And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing." He's talking about himself. "And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou?" None. Verse 37, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he's able to abase." That is the message of Jesus Christ, the true and living God. And that's the response that all of God's people have to the message of Jesus Christ. That's what all of God's people will cry when the truth comes, when Christ comes, the truth concerning the person and this all-powerful, sovereign, finished work of Jesus Christ. All right, very quickly, back in chapter 2, verse 20 says, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His, and He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desire of Thee. For Thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, "Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation." Now I'm going to stop this message right here, but I'll go ahead and tell you so we can get excited about it. With this message that Daniel received, he brought intercession to a whole bunch of sinners. The decree had gone out, slay all the wise men. And Daniel cried unto the Lord for the true remedy of good news, and God gave it to him. And Daniel immediately cried. Verse 25 says, he ran with haste. They went literally running to the king, crying, "Slay not the wise men of Babylon. I found their ransom." They were all a bunch of sinners, ignorant sinners. They were all just sinners against God. That's what we all were. That's what we all are in this flesh. There's nothing good in any of us. But in Daniel's love and his mercy, he ran to the throne of judgment, crying, "Deliver them from going down to the pit. I hold the truth that will set them free." That's what Christ did. All of God's people say with Daniel, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank God for the intercession of the truth." Like Manoah's wife, she said, if he was going to kill us, he would not have told us all these things. He wouldn't reveal all this to us. If the Lord is willing, next time we're going to look at Nebuchadnezzar's dream and the interpretation of it. Come the end of it, we're going to say with Daniel, there's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven. We bow to Him. All right, amen. Stand together.